Lord, we tell you we love you again. Surely things that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, and which have not come out of man's heart, these are things that you have prepared for us, that you have preordained for us, and now unveiling us to these mysteries. Lord, we love you. To us, those who love you, you have revealed these things by the Spirit. Tonight we pray we would all be in spirit with our heart turned and loving you. Speak to us tonight. Be with us tonight. Amen. This outline tonight is a beautiful outline and actually a very deep outline. Also a very dense outline. It's certainly something that cannot be covered in an hour or so. So I would adjure you, just like the other messages and outlines, that you would go back and get into this outline in a particular way concerning the Father's house. So the topic, the title, In the Father's House, Living in the Place, Prepare for Us Through the Death and Resurrection of Christ. Now, the bulk of the verses tonight are found in chapter 14 of the Gospel of John. We know that chapter 14, 15, 16 comprise sort of the last long speaking of Christ before he was crucified. And, of course, chapter 17 was a prayer to the Father related to what he has spoken. Now, tonight, this particular outline concerning the Father's house, we are covering from verse 1, roughly to verse 23. And there's a lot here. Just a lot here. So please do that when you leave this training. It says, starting out this chapter, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe into God. Believe also into me. In my Father's house are many abodes. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I am coming again and will receive you to myself, so that where I am, you also may be. Now, I just pause here because I have a burden to start this message in a way to expose this so-called concept of going to heaven. I asked a brother whether today among us, generally in the Lord's recovery, the saints, and more particularly the younger saints, are clear, are absolutely clear according to the truth in the scriptures concerning this great leaven of heaven, we used to say this, versus the central thought of God, as revealed again in this chapter. To gain a house, the Father's house. And if tonight I would sound a little bit harsh, a little bit cruel, a little bit inhuman, I beg your forgiveness. But I feel the need to make this matter clear once again. And I hope in a once and for all way. I mentioned in the first message, my first message, that I'm here to preach the gospel, right? Well, tonight, my spirit is still one of preaching the gospel, except tonight's gospel is a lot deeper, a lot more mysterious, a lot more central in God's, according to God's intention in this universe. So these few verses are very, very popular and often quoted, especially in times of funerals and things like that, to comfort the survivors of the dead, to tell them, don't be troubled, believe in God, believe in Christ, that do not worry. In the Father's house are many, what? Sorry to say, in the King James Version, it is not abodes, but mansions. It caught on and become the more accepted word here, which really is something that misguides and misleads. And then the pastor or whoever would continue to say that, how the Lord would emphasize this matter, that if it's not the case, if there's not a mansion somewhere waiting for you, I would have told you. See? So I'm going now to prepare this place for you. And he said it again. And if I go and prepare this place for you, I'm going to come again and receive you. Probably now, this person lying there, he is being received and taken away to that place where I am with this heavenly mansion. This afternoon, I am here to blow heaven out of the sky. I'm burdened to do that. Not that this is the center of the message, but I'm so burdened for the clarity and the conviction and the deep realization of just how far Christianity, even Protestant Christianity, has fallen in this respect. Preaching basically a hoax of a gospel. Yes, to preach Christ died for us, shed his blood on the cross for our sins, for our forgiveness, to reconcile us back to God, these are all good and right. The gospel of grace. But then what? Well, try to be good, try to be pleasant, right? And live a okay life. And then, when you die, you're gonna have a one-way ticket, right? You're gonna sprout winglets. You're gonna stand on clouds. You're gonna have something called a halo or something like that over your head. You've seen them in cartoons. And you got to have St. Peter at the front desk, concierge, check you in for eternity. Probably once you enter, there'll be wonderful Christian hymns wafting in the air from speakers, I don't know from where. And you will find your own lush mansion down some street paved with gold. Of course, you have to cross those beautiful pearly gates first. And depending on you, I mentioned elsewhere, and this is actually spoken, if you like golf, there will be plenty of golf courses for eternity. If you love NASCAR, there will be an oval for you to practice day and night. Whatever you like, whatever entertainment, whatever sports, whatever enjoyment, whatever that will satisfy you, it will be there. This is just this wonderful place that the Lord Jesus has spent by now 2,000 years and he's still not finished yet, so it better be good. Luxurious. Now, I say this sarcastically, I know, and being somewhat not very nice, but this thing must be exposed as what it really is, because this thing has duped the Christians, cheated them, deceived them from something that is much better,
amen,
much higher,
amen,
much more glorious,
amen,
much more in the heart of God.
Amen.
That makes heaven pales like nothing. This physical place that you go to for not 1,000 years, forever, it is going to be quite boring. But people today believe this. It's accepted. You can live, you can be a nominal Christian and live a minimal Christian life, but when you die, you're going to head for this place, this wonderful place, not knowing, so many, that all these things exist in heathenism, in paganism. Back in the day, the early church days, whether it's the Persians, whether it is the Druids, whether they are the Greeks, whether they are whatever. They all talk, have these things about the afterlife, the beautiful afterlife. Even here, with some of the indigenous people, you're going to go to a happy hunting ground where game is plenty. I tell you, I hate Satan.
Amen.
That would beguile the Lord's children, deceive them from the very, very best that God has preordained and prepared for his chosen elect. It is not to go to that place, that physical place. It is what? To be brought into God.
Amen.
Do you like to be there in that place, or you like to be in the triune God?
Amen.
It's not some heavenly mansion, so to speak. It is a person, the person of the Father, the person of the Son, the person of the Spirit, the person of the triune God that we are to be brought into, to dwell there, to live there, to lodge there, while at the same time he would be brought into us to do the same. So that between man and God, there would be a mutual, eternal dwelling in a mutual, eternal abode. And that abode, the Lord said, in fact, in verse 23, if anyone loves me, and if he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, we will come to him and make an abode with him. That making there has the concept of building, constructing, manufacturing. What? Building an abode. That abode is not so-called a mansion. It is an abode, a place you live in, a place you abide in, a place you settle down, a dwelling, a lodging. And the Father and the Son is to come to build and make such an abode with the lover of Christ. That is our destiny. And that, brothers and sisters, is our destination. I'd like to ask now, are you aiming to go to heaven in that kind of a way, traditional way?
No.
We are in this triune God already.
Amen.
He is in us and we are in him. But that's just the beginning. And today his work is a continual building of that abode, individually in each one of us as abodes, plural, and collectively into this house, the Father's house, the Father's habitation, the Father's dwelling place, the place where he longed for his rest and satisfaction. And not to mention his expression. Well, with that as a little bit of an opener, let us get onto this outline. This outline is just so, I would say, the points, the content are just simply profound. I mean, the word that came to me in my prayer in 1 Corinthians 2, excuse me, is that all these things that just would never even show up in your heart, this thing is now, that yet God has prepared for those who love him. These things are the depths of God. The deepest things in God. And what are these things? These are actually the things of Christ. Christ as our eternal portion. If you see this, you will not need to look to go somewhere, a better place. You know, just by the way, it came to me, you know that song, what? In the Sweet By and By, that talks about on the shore, on the other side, where there's this building there, or this house there, or this mansion there. Everyone loves it, traditional. I don't care. It is part of woven into our culture, our thinking. Even unbelievers believe this. How about that? The Lord's recovery has nothing to do with this traditional, natural, fallen, leavenous concepts. There's something in the Word of God that is so much deeper and higher. The depths of God. So let us go to this outline on the positive side. The positive side. And there's a lot of light here. All right? Now there's these very, very important verses that we have no time to read, but please, please get into this matter. All right. I know time is ticking away, but I have to give you my little story. My little story was more or less, I also think I'm going to go to heaven. Even I'm saved, baptized in the recovery, I don't know anything better. Nobody, no one really tell me in a clear way. In late 60s, before I stepped foot into the church life in L.A., I came to this country to study university, and I packed a whole bunch of ministry books. And among those ministry books is one that was that's comprised of messages given by Brother Lee back in 1959 on the matter of God's building. In those years, Brother Lee had just returned from a global round-the-world trip and saw sort of the best of Christianity. And he went back to what? To with the sensation of the tremendous lack of building, the knowledge of this matter of the building of God among the Christians. And we're not talking about general Christians. These are lovers of the Lord. These are pursuers of Christ. These are people who pay attention to spiritual things. But you cannot find today, even there's this kind of realization, much less this kind of practice, of Christians being built together in God, in Christ, in the Spirit, to become a spiritual house which God can dwell in. The same house that's mentioned in 1 Peter 2. A house that satisfies the needs of both God and man. The realization that this is the working out of the Lord's greatest prophecy, I will build my church. And this Father's house is simply the church of God. This Father's house, if you go back to John, Gospel of John chapter 2, about the Lord saying that, right? In 3 days, I will raise up this temple. But he's talking about the temple of his body. So we're talking about the enlarged body of Christ. We're talking about that corporate Christ here, needing to be built up. There is no such thought. It's all Jesus is building me something over there. No, Jesus is not building something over there. Jesus is building himself into you here.
Amen.
Today.
Amen.
Right here and now, not when you die. And he's building you into him. Moment by moment. Which is his great and full salvation. So our goal is not to go to heaven. Our goal is to build up the body of Christ. Our goal here is to build up the Father's house, the church. So I read that even before I came into the Lord's recovery. I cannot say that I was fully clear, but that was the first time I was impacted by this thought that I'm not going to heaven. God has a building in this universe. And that is not that heavenly mansion. It is his church. I never had that idea. That changed my whole life. My whole Christian life. Have a different destiny, sense of destiny, a different aim of a destination. All right, let's go. First, Romans 1, the central thought of John 14 is that we must believe into God. Please, please underline, circle into. Believe into God and thereby enter into God. Before we even talk about into this house, we're here talking about into God as that place that we are to be brought into. And indeed, we were brought into as a fact when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because the Father and the Lord Jesus are one. Because the Father is in the Son, Christ, and Christ the Son is in the Father. So for us to believe into the Lord Jesus Christ, it is to believe ourselves into the Father God. Now, A, to believe in God is objective, but to believe into God is subjective. There is such a thing as belief. I believe God. God is real. God is true. There is such a thing. But that's elementary, and that is objective. You're convinced, you're convicted, and that's good that God exists. God is real. I believe that. But here, in Greek, it is not just to believe in, but to believe into. Into, that is very important. That means to reach a certain place, a certain locality, you know, you understand? And that is not some physical real estate or place, that is the person of God himself. It is the subjective believing that brings us into God. B, it is by believing into the Lord that we enter into him to be one with him. Whenever we use the word into, it implies what? Oneness. So to believe into Christ is to enter into Christ, to be one with this Christ, to be joined to this Christ, to be united with this Christ, to have a living organic union with this Christ. And the same thing, of course, about our believing into God, being to enter into God. And when we enter into God, that is to be incorporated with him. We become one with him, of course, but here it says to partake of him. When we're one with God, we're partaking of God automatically. When we're one with Christ, in Christ, we're partaking of his riches and to participate in all that he has accomplished for us. And therefore, those who believe into him, the Savior Christ, may have eternal life. See, through believing into Christ, we have an organic union with him and have our being merged into his. I like this word, merged. It has the thought of blending, uniting, mingling, incorporating these wonderful words that we now know. Have our whole being merged into his so that we may be one organically. You know, the message that Brother James gave concerning we're being baptized, am I right? Into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That means we are put into this mystical union with the very triune God.
Amen.
So now God and us, we and God, are now one organically. In John 15, it talks about abide in me and I in you. This is actually a follow-up of John 14, when the words two times, abode and abodes, were mentioned. And as we will see, in this Father's house, there are many abodes, and each one of us is one such abode.
Amen.
So there will be millions and millions of abodes in the Father's house. And today, therefore, with such abode, and by the way, that abode is not just an abode for us. This is also an abode for God Himself.
Amen.
So in the mingling, in the union of God and man, an abode came forth that would house both God and man. Actually, God is our abode, and we are His abode. And together, we live together in that mutual abode.
Amen.
Of the mingling of divinity with humanity. Amen?
Amen.
Two, the Father's house is a matter of the triune God. Through incarnation, crucifixion, and resurrection, working Himself into the believers in order to be fully mingled with them, so that He may build them up as an organism for His dwelling and expression. I am not going to explain. I think this is actually very clear. To me, it is very, very clear. Through the processes of Christ, the triune God is able to work Himself into us, His believers, to mingle with us and to build us up as a living organism for His dwelling and for His expression. A, in 2:16, my Father's house refers to the dwelling place of God on earth, the temple. The temple is a type or figure of the body of Jesus, which in resurrection has been enlarged to be the body of Christ. Once upon a time in incarnation, the Lord possessed a human body, but a small one, a little one. But through the process of death and in resurrection, that body was enlarged, increased, to become something universal, large. And that's the body we're a part of today. That's the body that we are members of today. And that body is the Father's house. That body is the church of God, the house of God, the church of the living God. None of this is physical, material, but they are real. See, the Father's house is a divine and human incorporation of the process and consummated God constituted. That means formed. That means composed of. Constituted with His redeemed, regenerated, and transformed elect. This is the Father's house. So please forget the heavenly mansion.
Amen.
The Father's house is this human, divine / human incorporation of God and man, Himself having been processed and consummated, and us Man is elect, having been redeemed, regenerated, and transformed. That incorporation is the Father's house today. And that is what God is after.
Amen.
Actually, the whole notion of going to heaven is utterly selfish. Am I right? It's all about me in eternity. How good it will be. Who thinks about God? Who cares about what God wants and needs? D. In the Father's house are many abodes. That's us. Many, many abodes. One, the many abodes are the many members of the body of Christ, which is God's temple. I think it is good to what? To thank the Lord and tell the Lord and declare that I am an abode in the Father's house.
Amen.
Just tell the Father that. Maybe we should praise the Father after the Lord's table in this way. Father, thank you for making me an abode of yours in your house. Two, all the believers in Christ are the abodes in God's building, the Father's house. This building is the body of Christ. He dwells in you, he abides in you and me and all of us. And by doing so, he is abiding in his house. It's like a huge, big apartment building with many, many apartments. You know what I mean. I don't want to get into any physical metaphor to make us think physically. But so many abodes comprise this great abode. I go to prepare a place for you. All right? The Lord did say that. Means that the Lord would prepare a place. There is a need to prepare a place. How did he prepare this place? Well, here it says, to accomplish redemption, to open the way, and to make a standing for us to enter into God. Why? It's very simple. Because despite this being God's desire and the Lord's intention to bring us into himself for the building of his dwelling place, because of man's fall, there's been a lot of problems and a lot of obstacles between man and God, of sin, of sins, of the world, of death, of the flesh, of the self, of the old man, of even the devil himself. All these things the Lord has to what? Take care of. Clean up. And hallelujah, he did this on the cross.
Amen.
In his all-inclusive death, he destroyed these things. Even the enmity between peoples. The Lord removed. And he accomplished redemption. So that he can now open the way for us to come into God with a proper standing. Now this should remind us of Ephesians, says through this we have access in the Spirit, in one Spirit, unto the Father. There is unto the Father. But here we're talking about into God himself. For you and I to enjoy the reconciliation with God is a wonderful thing. That's a proof that we're saved. We're truly saved. But that is not enough. We need to be regenerated, right? We need to receive this divine life so that we can be begotten to be sons or children of God, and that He would be our Father. We would all be this household of the living God. By death and resurrection, the Lord Jesus paved the way and prepared the place so that we might be brought into God. How many people know this? We would just say, Jesus died for me so that I would not go to hell but go to heaven, right? That's the common logic. Wrong. Jesus died and Jesus resurrected to open a way for us to come into God.
Amen.
To prepare a definite place for us.
Amen.
With a proper standing in that place before God.
Amen.
So when he says, I go, I'm going, then right away he said, I'm coming. Most people think that that is maybe when the Lord Jesus returned the second time. You know, that's a common way of interpreting that verse. But no, the going is his going to die on the cross. His coming is his coming in resurrection as the life-giving Spirit.
Amen.
For our regeneration. One is for our redemption, the other for our regeneration. Through this, a place for us has been prepared in God. Three, the standing in God being enlarged becomes the standing in the body of Christ. First, we have a standing in God. Then we have a standing in the body of Christ as the many members of the Lord's body. So A and B explains. Anyone who does not have a standing, a place in God, all right, in God, does not have a place in the body of Christ. No such thing. If you're not in God, you can never be in the body of Christ. We can be part of the body of Christ, in the body of Christ, become members of Christ, because we found a place in God. In the Father's. Okay, B, as believers in Christ, we all have a place in God and a place in the body. And now we should live in the place prepared for us through the death and resurrection of Christ. There you have it. This is the Christian life. This is the church life.
Amen.
To live in this place, to abide in Him, and to let Him abide in us. John 15. This is to live in fellowship with the true vine. And this is to abide, live, remain in this lovely place in God that Christ has prepared for us through His death and resurrection. F. The Lord's coming brought God into man, and His going brought man into God. His incarnation brought God into man in the person of Himself, of the Lord. And His going to die and be raised brought us into God. More or less, the first 13 chapters of John is concerning the first part, the Lord's bringing God into man, and 14 through 21, the second half, talks about His going to bring man into God. By this coming and going, He builds up the house of God by building God into man and man into God. G, by the Spirit and through his death and resurrection, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is building an organism, the church, which is his body and the Father's house, produced by the mingling of the triune God with his chosen and redeemed people. So this building work, it's actually a mingling work. It is an incorporating work. It is by the mingling of the triune God with us, his chosen and redeemed people, that the Father's house is built and will be enlarged for God's expression. So this is practical, dear saints. Every day we need to what? Remain in him. Abide in him, right? And let him remain in us and abide in us. H, the Father's house is built up by the constant visitation to the redeemed elect of the Father and the Son with the Spirit. There's a lot here. Based on John 14:23, again, the Lord said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make an abode with him. The condition of the Lord's building work in us is right here. That we would what? Number one, love him. Number two, keep his word. The result of this is that the Father will be happy. The Father will be satisfied. And together, the Father and the Son will come to this lover of the Lord to make an abode with him. So this work is daily. This work is moment by moment. It's not a small thing, brothers and sisters, for us to have the triune God's visitation like this. The condition, I say again, is to love him and keep his word. Three, the Father's house, the church, is in God the Father. So now we come to the Father's house as the church. This house, this church is in God the Father. All right? In 1 Thessalonians 1:1 and 2 Thessalonians 1:1, Paul said something similar concerning a local church, not even just the universal church, but even a local church of the Thessalonians. To the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And in 2 Thess 1:1, even more dear, to the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So where is the church? The church is in the Father. The church of God is in God the Father. This is, dear saints, we have to look at our local church and ask this question. Practically, is our church life in God and in the Lord Jesus Christ, or it is not quite, not completely, not so, because we have given room to other things. This is a very, very strict matter. That's where the church is. Outside of God, no church. No Father's house. For the church to be in God the Father, God must become the Father to us. And we need to have a right life relationship with him. Now, this is very sweet, very experiential, all right? For our local churches to be in God, God have to be our Father first. And we need to have that kind of Father-Son relationship with him. Today, he's no longer the Lord's Father, but also ours. One, in the New Testament, the Father denotes the source of life. The first question, what is the source of this? What is the source of what we are doing? Is it the Father? Two, the title God refers to creation. The title Father refers to the impartation and multiplication of life. So life is brought in. When we talk about Father, life must be there. He's not only the source of life, he is the sustenance of that life. And he is the growth of that life. Grows with the growth of God. And even he is the multiplication of that life. Everything in our church must be of life. Three, God is, four. Three, God is no longer merely our creator. He's also our father, our begetter, for he has begotten us with his life. I think we need to spend more time during the week, not just after the Lord's table, to say, Abba, Father. How about that? Just spend more time. Just call the Father. He is our Father, our begetter, not just our creator. Four, we can call God our Father because we've been born of him, and now as his children, we have a life relationship with him. Oh, this Father's closer than your biological father. Five, though through his life-releasing death and his life-imparting resurrection, the Lord has made us one with him. His Father is now our Father. I can't believe this. This is blowing my mind. That I can say the same thing that Jesus says when he addresses God. He says, my Father. He prayed to the Father. You know, Brother Paul, what is this? I mean, I pinch myself. I can call his Father my Father.
Amen.
Jesus' Father is mine.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
I mean, oh. Just say sweetly, Abba, Father. We have the spirit of sonship, right? We have the spirit of the Son in our hearts, in our spirit, crying, Abba, Father.
Amen.
We cry, the spirit cry, loves to cry, Abba, Father. Let's fill our church life with Father.
Amen.
The Abba, Father.
Amen.
Because we are a church in God, the Father.
Amen.
All right, by the death and resurrection, the Lord Jesus has brought us into him. Since he is the Father, we are in the Father by being in him, the Lord Jesus. How do we get into the Father? By entering into the Son. And because the Son is in the Father, so by being in the Son, we're also in the Father.
Amen.
So one of the most important verses in the New Testament, John 14:20, in that day you will know that I am in my Father, you in me, and I in you. Because the Lord Jesus is us, and us are incorporated, we're in him, he is in us, because he's in the Father, we're also in the Father. Isn't that logical?
Amen.
Isn't that rational?
Yes.
Isn't that reasonable?
Yes.
We are in God the Father.
Amen.
By being in God the Son. B, for the church to be in God the Father means that the church is the one who is the unique source, the originator, and initiator. God the Father must be the source of everything in our lives and in the church. One, to know God as the Father is to know that everything originates from him and that everything proceeds from him. Two, in the church life, the Father should be the unique source, and we all should be in his unique purpose and plan. All right, we come to four, the last point. This is most important as a conclusion to this message. We need to see the intrinsic significance of living in the church as the Father's house. So this is going to have, these 10 points is going to help us. That's why I just love this being put together in this way, that today we can what? Appreciate the church life from this particular angle. And that is the angle of what? Of the church being the Father's house. So let us look at these 10 points. How should we live the church life today? Especially for us in the Lord's recovery. Number one, A, to live in the church as the Father's house is to live in the triune God as life. Because the Father is the source of life. The Father has life in himself. And so today, for us to have the genuine church life as the Father's house, we have to live in the triune God as life. We have to live in the Father. We have to live in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to live in the Spirit. As life, the Father of life, the Christ of life, and the Spirit of life is our environment. B, to live in the church as the Father's house is to live in the light. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So what does a proper church in the Father's, as the Father's house look like? It is full of light. Full of light. The divine light. Number three, C, to live in the church as the Father's house is to live in resurrection. I am the resurrection. So as we, it was covered yesterday, right? Live in this resurrection. As we live in this divine and mystical realm, as we live in the Spirit, we're living in the church. We're truly living in the church. Four, D, to live in the church as the Father's house is to live in grace and reality. The Word became flesh and tabernacle among us, full of grace and reality. Truly, in the church life, we don't have that much to offer, but we have grace and reality. E, to live in the church as the Father's house is to live in the divine glory. Covered that last night. To live in the divine glory. To live in Christ is to live in this divine glory. F, to live in the church as the Father's house is to live in a house of prayer and worship. Of course, we saw the Lord Jesus declaring that the house, the temple, must not be a house of merchandise, right? But rather a house of prayer. But we have here all these verses from chapter 14, 15, 16, and so on, showing us that this is the place where we can ask We can ask the Father in the Lord's name. Multiple times the Lord said this. The Father's house is a house of prayer. G, to live in the church as the Father's house is to live a life of shepherding. Now this, of course, we find in chapter 10 about the Lord being the good shepherd, and in chapter 21, his conversation with Peter to commission him, to charge him to be a feeder of lambs and shepherds and feeders of his sheep, that is God's flock. And so what does a church that is the Father's house look like? What does it do? Shepherding. Shepherding. H, to live in the church as the Father's house is to live in and for God's building. I hope that a whole young generation among us in the Lord's recovery would have this kind of commitment, would have this kind of resolution, this kind of consecration, based on the vision that you see here. And that is, from now onwards, I'm living in and for God's building. My life, my future, my everything is good for nothing else but for God's building. If you make that decision by the Lord's mercy, make that determination, I tell you, the Lord will keep and the Lord will preserve us. I testify to this, as can many others. I, to live in the church as the Father's house, is to live in the divine and mystical realm of the consummated Spirit for the keeping of oneness. So as we live in this realm, this divine and mystical realm, which is the triune God, which is the Spirit, which is resurrection, in this realm, we keep the oneness. Of course, this is very much touched and covered in the Lord's Prayer in chapter 17. J, the last point, to live in the church as the Father's house is to live in the divine and human incorporation of the process and consummated triune God with the redeemed and regenerated tripartite believers. Amen?
Amen.
I feel this is very clear. Very, very clear. Thank the Lord for this outline. I think I'm done. Please have some prayer. Amen.